This is our second episode on our series on the conversation on the journey towards a paperless society. And today, what we are going to talk about is the legislative framework in records management and what impact it would have on our digitization process. We are trying to walk this journey to encourage our African society to move to the paperless, so to the paperless state. Why? Because it will help them in reducing costs of running offices. As small and medium-sized companies, managing offices is quite costly. So if we can get a leeway of reducing our costs, then the better for us. So as we are moving to the digitization space, and this is because there are tools which are available, and there's a lot of support to that side. So if we can move to that paperless state, it will save us from the cost of using paper, the cost of delivering documents, the cost of managing the documents, the cost of searching for those documents. Even time is cost. So as we are continuing the conversation, we are having our guest on board. I'll first of all introduce myself, and then I'll introduce our guests whom we had in the last session. This will be a continuous monthly session. We'll be having monthly sessions on this. This is our second session of this series, and we hope our audience will be able to learn from the series as they are moving to the digitization process. The host, who is me, is Jacqueline Odhiambo. I'm the CEO of Cartech Services Limited, and I host a podcast and a blog, Amolodox, whereby you can go and listen to more on this state of going paperless, hoping you learn and be able to implement. I want to introduce our guest today, who will be very common in this series of ours as we are trying to educate you on this going paperless journey. And he's I'll let him introduce himself. He's Collins Mutimba. He's an electronic document and management expert and trainer, and he's very good in what he does. And when you're putting it across to you that if you go paperless, you'll save a lot of costs and your business will grow to another level, it is true. And it'll help you through this journey. So, Collins, can you introduce yourself?
Thank you, Jacqueline. I think as you've just stated, my name is Collins Mutimba. I am an electronic document and records management system expert and doubled as a trainer in records and archives management. Collins is also a lecturer at the Technical University of Kenya, and he is the Secretary General of the Kenya Association of Records Managers and Archivists. Thank you.
So today we look at the legislative framework in records management. What impact does this have on your digitization journey? And how will it help you in the process? So Collins will give us answers on some of the questions that we usually have as SMEs so that we see how we can go about it, because you cannot just do digitization. You just start. You have to have systems in place. You have to have processes in place. You have to know this is where I have to start. And how do I handle these documents in such a way that I'm able to access them when I need them? So the first question that I want to ask Collins is, why legislative framework in records management?
Thank you. So, as you say, why legislative framework? Before even we factor in or we think about digitization, what I can basically say is as we may say that records digitization is a very it's a noble idea, and the aspect of legislative framework is very fundamental in that. We have basically just to understand in terms of policies What policies do we have before even we start figuring about digitizing our record management systems and processes? And you know, records management policies do help us. It is a guide towards how things should actually run, especially in terms of documents capture, things on how the records should be named, the naming conventions of records, how these records can be classified. So in terms of a policy framework or legislative framework, we say that it's very fundamental for any organization or any person who is thinking towards digitizing their processes or their systems. We need at least, first of all, to see what will be the guiding framework towards digitization of these processes and systems. And the first important thing is you need at least to have a policy framework in place. And a policy, in this case, it should be able at least to enable us to know the scope of work in terms of records, which records are we digitizing. Secondly, it has to spell out the aspects of the responsibilities of records management, who should be able at least to take responsibility of these records digitization. We need at least to have someone who is knowledgeable or who has some knowledge in records or digitization in that matter, so that at least now when you embark on undertaking a records digitization project, you know very well that at least you have a provision in policy which at least informs you on how records should be captured in the system, how these records needs to be classified in the system, and also pertaining the securities of records, it has to be very clear on how records should be secured in the system. Also, in terms of retention and disposal, the policy should be able at least to give us some guide on records, on how long we should keep certain records and for how long we should at least be able to dispose of those records. So legislative framework, it's very fundamental or crucial in any records digitization project, because we have at least to align our records digitization projects, putting into consideration that we have some acts, some laws that exist that spell out how long certain records need to be maintained within a records management system. In this particular case, I can, for example, give a case of personnel records. You know, we have legislations that informs us on how long we need to keep our personnel records in a records management system. And in this case, certain legislations, for example, like the Directorate of Personnel Management circular that was done in 2008, spells out that personnel records should be kept for 15 years after that file has been closed. And looking also at other dynamics, we have cases where certain job groups, the legislation there says that from job group N and above, those records needs at least to be maintained permanently or to be kept permanently. So in such a case, when you're planning to digitize, we have at least to be informed about these legislations. We have also the Financial Management Act, yeah, which also spells out on how certain finance records needs to be kept, for how long should they be kept. So looking at these laws or legislative or legislations, it's we are able at least to get informed on how certain records needs to be kept for how long, and that will be able at least to also inform us in making quality decisions before undertaking a records digitization project. Because I'm looking now, there could be a case where, let's say, the law says that we need to keep, let's say, a certain record for 1 year. And after 1 year, the disposal action there would be, we, let's say, destroy the record. And in this case, we are planning to digitize these records management processes. So when it gets to such cases, before even you undertake this digitization assignment, you need at least to know, by the way, in terms of the categorization of the records, what information am I having? Which information should I digitize? And based on this legislative framework, how should we, let's say as an organization, be informed before even making a decision to decide, start converting these analog records into the digital platform? So in terms, we have also some bits about procurement acts, yeah, the Public Procurement Regulatory Act of, I'm just forgetting the year, but it spells out that for procurement records, it needs to be kept for a maximum of 6 years, after which they should be destroyed. But remember, the number of years in which we keep these records need at least to be informed by certain things. For example, you have a procurement file. That file, first of all, before you start counting, let's say the number of 6 years before it's destroyed, you have first of all to ensure that all businesses relating to that particular file has been closed. So the file needs first to have been closed, then the counting starts from the time in which that particular file has been closed. If it's 6 years, then you have to keep it for 6 years. So you have at least to look at all these dynamics. What do the law say pertaining how long we should retain these records? And this should be able also to inform us on what exactly we need also to digitize, so that we don't just digitize records, then after a few months we destroy, or we destroy those digital records. So we have at least now to look at the value for money. We have at least to look at the financial implications, so that now we don't just digitize everything. We appreciate that the whole bit of digitization improves on our service delivery. It improves on efficiency. It improves on productivity, and also ensures that we have the customer growth within an organization because of the how fast the services are delivered to the citizens. But we also need to be live to the fact that we don't just digitize everything. We need to be informed by the existing laws, so that at least now we are able to just appreciate what do the laws say. And then in terms of digitizing, how can we ensure that we digitize without necessarily incurring unnecessary costs? Yeah, because of digitizing unnecessary stuff. So based on this, our legislative framework is very crucial. And we need, as in the industry, we have at least to be aware of these legislative frameworks. Another thing about why legislative framework is very important, for example, when you talk about, let's say, the policy, the records management policy, we have quite a number of policy documents that are key before embarking towards digitizing our records management processes and systems. So in this particular case, we have a general records management policy as a policy document, which is very fundamental for it to be endorsed first before we embark towards digitizing our records management processes and systems. Secondly, something that is also a policy document and is very, very crucial is the records classification system or records classification scheme. That's a policy document as well. So in this case, when you have a records classification scheme, that should be able at least to inform us, let's say as organizations who are digitizing our records management systems, it should be able at least to help us know how are we filing these digital records or the e-records. We have at least to have a very clear system or a clear file plan on what needs to be filed where. So that now, as we say that once we digitize these records management systems, we should be able to, let's say, retrieve, search and retrieve information very fast and be able to make informed decisions. If we don't have a filing classification scheme, which is a policy document, then it will be very difficult for us now to purport now to start digitizing records. Because once you digitize, it's very clear we have at least to have a file structure on where what records are supposed to be stored in an electronic environment. So apart from that, some other thing that is very important is the bit of having a records retention and disposal policy. A records retention and disposal policy. And you know, when you have a records retention and disposal policy, in this case, it basically just helps us know in terms of keeping certain records, how long are we keeping these records? Yeah. What does the law say about keeping certain records in terms of number of years? Yeah. And after these records are kept, what are their disposal actions? In this particular case, an organization needs, first of all, just to ensure that it has a collection or an inventory of a list of all the records that the organization generates or stores. So that now, based in that list, you'll be able now to categorize these particular records or information falls under which function. Are they administrative records? Yeah. Are they finance records? Are they, let's say, procurement records? Are they HR records? Yeah. So in that case, then you should be able now to see what does the law say about keeping these particular records. So that now when you do digitize these particular information or records, you are very clear from that bit of digitizing how long those records are supposed to be maintained in the system. So once that is very clear, then it can also inform you on whether it's very necessary to digitize those records or whether it's not very necessary to digitize those records. So in this particular case, the point here is we have, before even thinking about digitizing records, we need at least to look at what laws do we have. Do we have a policy framework in place? Do we have a classification system in place? How do we track this information? Do we have a records tracking system? Yeah. Do we have the records retention and disposal schedule? So once at least, once we have those aspects, then it will be very easy for us now to say we can start digitizing our records management systems and processes. That is a bone of contention where I say that having looking at legislations, it's good at least to see how this legislation informs us in undertaking these records digitization projects. Maybe just to mention another thing is about we have this Act on Access to Information Act that was enacted in 2016. So when you look at that act, of course, it also falls part of the in this category of legislative framework. That act emphasizes in some articles, I think Article 17, it emphasizes on organization computerizing their records management systems. And it has spelled out that institutions should digitize their records, or they should computerize their records management systems within 3 years after the time in which that law was enacted. So it's very important, at least for us, just to appreciate what the law says about this information before even undertaking the actual stuff. The recent act here, we have the Data Protection Act that also was enacted in 2019. It also has some bits pertaining the data subject. Now, who is us, the data subject? How do we protect the records that we've been provided by the data subjects? And in this case, if let's say you attend, let's say a conference, or you attend any event, or you get into any organization, you're supposed to write in or fill in your details. Those details needs to be protected. You have at least to, as the data subject, you have your details needs to be protected from being misused from the intended purpose. So in terms of law, we have at least to look at what do the law say pertaining these records, so that now you don't digitize something and then you find that you start getting some complaints on how come you are digitizing this information yet, and you're using it on another another thing that wasn't intended at the word go when those records were being captured. So when we just look at all the dynamics about different legislations, we should be able at least to get informed on how these legislations affect the whole bit of our records digitization. Yeah, without forgetting, we have the Public Archives and Documentation Act. That is the Cap 19 of the laws of Kenya. Yeah. Of course, now in such acts, people basically just need, before even we start thinking about digitizing, it's good at least we familiarize ourselves with these laws, so that now when we embark on digitizing records management systems, then we are so sure that we are doing the right thing. So basically, that's what I can say in relation to looking at legislative framework in records management before embarking on digitization. We basically just need to be knowledgeable about these laws. What do they entail? How do they affect digitization? Yeah. How does digitization impact? Do they have any impact on digitization? Yeah. So that in that process, you start your digitization project knowing very well that you are also driven by the policy framework in records management that are there. And we say that when it comes to this, policies, these legislations and what have you, we say that organizations are very unique. every organization are very unique in their own nature. So you can't, let's say I can't take, you can't use my records classification scheme to classify your records, because my organization generates different records as compared to your organization. So in this particular case, we say that we have first of all just to undertake, or we have to do or conduct a business analysis in an organization in order for us at least to understand how the organization works, in order for us to understand if an organization has any policies, and we need at least to, if there is any policy, then we need at least to look at what are the scope of those policies, so that if it happens that the policy is inadequate in some way, then we have at least to see on how we can review the policy to incorporate many aspects that would touch on e-records or digitization. So once we have that in place, then it would be important at least for one to have that picture in the mind, so that you understand the organization in totality. If it has a system, let's say a classification system, and that classification is not working very well, then at that particular bit, you have to review that classification scheme. If you have, let's say, the retention and disposal system or policy that is not also adequate, you have also to do what? To improve on it, so that at least you ensure that you align everything to be in line with the digitization project. Last, but not least, in terms of that policy, we have some critical bits about training, which is also very very important. Training of staff needs at least to be trained on the digitization, so that now it doesn't come in as something new, because now when it comes in as a new item, then it will be very difficult when it comes to undertaking the whole records digitization project. So in that case, I'll say that when we try align our project to the policies, then that will be a number one step that anyone should think about before going digital. Before going digital, I think basically that is a brief about that bit of legislation and how it affects records digitization. Maybe I can talk about the danger of not factoring in these legislations. First of all, if you don't have a policy framework in place, that's a number one bit of failure in digitization. Because what will inform your digitization project? And that forms into the statistics where we have quite a number of institutions, organizations embarking on a records digitization project without necessarily thinking about the policy, and then they fail along the way because of that lack of that policy framework. There are cases where you digitize records. And as you digitize these records, you have challenges on even accessing or retrieving these records, because in terms of ensuring that you have a proper file plan or the file structure. If there are no file structures, you'll find that you'll have a mix of these digitized records in the system, and retrieving will become a problem. The other failure would be you might end up digitizing everything in an organization to an extent that you digitize even documents and records that are not supposed to be digitized. So at the end, it will be a very cost-effective venture to digitize because it didn't have the records management policies in place. One last thing that I would like to mention is, even as we think about now the policy and every other thing, we have to ensure that the manual system is well streamlined. It's well streamlined so that you stop importing problems or challenges that are in the manual system into the digital environment. So, streamlining there, you have to ensure that everything is just working in the manual system before you attempt towards trying to digitize this information. So, unless there are any questions, I feel that is an area that is very key, the aspects of legislations before we think about digitizing records. And most institutions do fail because they don't really factor in, they don't think about that. Because when you get into now the actuals in organizations, you'll find someone saying we have money to digitize. Yeah, let's digitize the systems. And then people start digitizing, only to realize that there are things that were not factored in at the very initial stages, which now at the end will have to impact or affect the records digitization project. Jackie.
Thank you, Collins, for that. And because of time, there is one question I have to ask. One, I know you've talked about the dangers of how lacking that legislative framework in records management and how it can cause failure to now having proper records. What I want to ask is, in regardless of us training these people, training is one time. The biggest obstacle to digitization or to that transition to that digital space is usually the human factor of the fear of coming from the comfort zone. Yes, we'll go through training. Yes, we'll have the legislative framework in place. But no, we feel like if we move from what we are used to doing to the next, then we don't want change. That is one question. Another question is, and this one I can put it as there's a case study where a client told us they'd been having records for 50 years. And they were scared of, regardless of these records being kept helter-skelter. So they were telling us of an experience. This was a financial institution. They were telling us of an experience of where the person who was having the person who was having this account passed on, and the grandchild came up to look for the documentation. So what's your take on that when it comes to the retention and disposal policy?
Thank you. First of all, change management is very key when it comes to these records digitization projects. And another thing is about the organizational culture. If the organization culture supports transparency or proper records management, then digitization won't be a problem. I know there is that bit of guys having some nice time in their comfort zones because maybe they are benefiting from the manual systems. Again, I'll actually refer that back to organizational culture. Yeah. If the organizational culture supports records management, then the bit of digitization, what basically should happen there is we have to look at how well should we inform the people whom the project is affecting directly or indirectly. So how we package that information matters, how we communicate. And that's why we say that even most digitization projects, they fail also due to lack of communication, proper communication. Yeah. So how do we communicate this information to the users? How do we protect the users so that at least they look at digitization differently? Not that when we digitize, they're going to lose jobs, but it's going at least to increase revenue in an organization. And it will increase, the organization will need more people to work and not to reduce the numbers when we digitize their processes. It's well packaged, then people will know, by the way, we have, we're actually moving towards this digital ecosystem because of these benefits. Yeah. So once that is packaged clearly, then those comfort zones, people just get out of the comfort zones. But if we don't relay that information properly, then that will mean that there'll be loss of resistance. Again, I normally say that that communication, it has to be continuous. Training, again, has to be continuous. And people whom are likely going to be affected by the project need to be informed in advance. And in that case, even in terms of reskilling themselves, they're able even to reskill and be able to fit into the new digital workspace. Secondly, about that bit of retention and having a case where you have a subject coming, wanting information, let's say 50 years down the line and what have you. So in this particular case, the bit of retention, we say that you can only apply the disposal action, let's say like destroying, preserving. Those normally comes when the file has been closed. That means that there is nothing that is pending in the file. So in the case where you have this person who comes to find out about the details of, let's say, a relative. In that case, it implies that that file is still active. So until when the file is inactive, that's a point in which it can be closed. And then now the application of how long they should be kept now will apply when there are no queries, there are no issues pertaining the file. That's when now the application on how long that file should be kept will apply. Just to bring into the perspective where you say you have this grandson. So you could have a file. And if it happens that this person who is leaving or who has retired, this employee, in his or her file, if let's say there this maybe the person has a child who hasn't attained 18 years, you know, by law, it says that if it's pension, you have at least to enjoy the pension after you've retired. If it happens that the person dies, then the wife will have also to enjoy the pension. Yeah. And at some point, if the wife also dies, we have at least to look at what does the law say about the child that is under 18. Yeah. So at that particular case, the law applies that until the person will have to benefit until now, he, she gets to 18 years. Yeah. That's a bit now where you can say that this file needs to be closed. So it's not like now, if I happen to retire today, if the law says my file should be kept for 15 years, it's not now, it's not applicable when at the time in which I retired. But after so many things have happened in my file, until now there is nothing that is pending. That's when now you close that file and you apply the retention. And now if the disposal action says that destroy it based on the law. I hope I'm clear, Jacqueline.
Yes, I'm clear of that. The law, I believe, has to be followed. I think it's more of the human fears than the law. I think there are places where we usually don't think, and we don't look at the law. We look at our societal beliefs. Yes, so I'm seeing we are running out of time, Collins. I know we have a lot to discuss, but since this series is continuing, I know we'll learn a lot more. So what my take on today's topic on the legislative framework in records management, one was legislative framework has to be in place with the manual system before you go through the digitization process or for the digitization process to succeed. Otherwise, you're doing zero work. Another take was change management and training is necessary for digitization to be successful, for the implementation of digitization to be successful. Number three is communication is key. If communication does not happen, it affects the change and it affects the digitization process. So for us to succeed, let's have the legislative framework in place. Let's have everybody, we are all in one place when it comes to the change. We all have to be, whether it's in training, whether it's in communication, let's all be in, let's not let the management do the process. Let the whole team in a company be involved for the digitization process to succeed. So, Collins, thank you so much for that. I believe our audience, they learned a lot from whatever we talked about, and other things will be coming in, other new topics will be coming in, which will be a plus. And also, we might also bring in case studies of people who have really succeeded in the digitization process so that our audience can learn more on how it feels when you've gone completely paperless. And with this, thank you, Collins, again. And now, what I want to tell you is we support you through this process, whether it comes to training, whether it's change management, we'll work with you through it all. Collins is our trainer, so he can be with you throughout all this process. You just have to call to communicate with us, and we'll be able to be there for you and support you in coaching to change and the training aspect. And using the CADtech, I'll share my screen, using the CADtech process, we'll take you through the whole process. Just a minute. Yes, so how do we go paperless the CADtech way? As we talked about the policies have to be in place when you are still in the manual process. The classification systems have to be in place. The records tracking system also has to be in place. I think another word is the audit trail, if I'm not wrong, Collins. And then now the process can start, and then we'll take you through also the process of the digitization, the process of the quality check, and ensuring like what you have manually is what goes into the digitization, into the digital format of the process. And then when you already have the retention and the disposal policy in place, when you really want to dispose of these documents, we'll be able to support you through the disposal of the paper documents. Obviously, with the systems they have, if you have an electronic document management system in place, it will be able to help you go. It will be able to, it's automated. The retention is automated. As long as you have the policy, you'll be good to go. We are doing this in partnership with Copycat and Canon. And also Karma is involved, and we provide systems like Therefore and DocuWare if you really need the system, though you can also use cloud when you're starting. And it's good, it's always good to start with a pilot to feel, to get the feel of how the process is. So we offer these services if you want to communicate with us. Our telephone number is on the screen and the email. So you are able to, you can always get in touch with us and we'll take you through the process. So that's it for today. Collins, thank you so much. And also for the audience for being there. So we are ending the webinar until the next episode in the next coming month. Thank you so much, everybody. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.